Hey, good people. Carol here.
And Shiro.
Welcome to
Something About Life.
We are back again. As we said last time, consistency is the name of the game. And what episode is this, Shiro, now?
4.
Wow. Like, soon will be episode 12. For me, that's like my, what is it called? My holy grail.
That's your goalpost.
Yes. Like, when we reach episode 12, I'll be like, woo, we done did it. Great. So today we're back and we thought, why not talk about frequently asked questions? And actually, we think maybe this might end up becoming a segment that we will work on eventually and maybe even have some people coming to discuss some of the questions we've gotten, because some are deep, very deep. We cannot handle in such a sitting, and we also maybe don't have the experience and capacity to answer some of them. But thank you once again for listening to us. Before we dig in, remember to subscribe on our podcast, on anywhere you listen to your podcast, whether it's Anchor, Spotify, Apple, we're everywhere. And like our page on Instagram so that you can interact with us.
Yeah, absolutely. We are back talking about grown people business. And thank you so much for everybody who sent questions in. We just wanted to do, sort of light Q&A, a bit more fun.
Yes.
And also there's some of the questions that you sent in are things that need their own episode, like very, very deep questions, really interesting conversations that we can't cover today. Yeah, but we'll go through the ones that we think we can talk about, share some insight from our own experiences or life in general, and see how we go.
Yep. So, Shiro, are you ready? I'm going to pick one and then you're going to pick one, yeah? So we'll do it like that.
Okay,
so
go on.
Also, we have not really prepped on this. It's like just our life experiences. So we'll see where this goes. So my first question to you, Shiro, how did you know your husband was the one? Like, do you believe in love at first sight? A lot of people have asked that. And then tied to that, someone actually asked me, where are the men in Nairobi? So it's like a very big question. So maybe we can start like, how did you know your partner was the one? And, you know, how did you know this is it? I'm going to settle down with this man.
Okay, first of all, let me say I never wanted to settle down ever. I just thought I had no, you know, I always thought the idea of marriage was unnecessary in the sense that it's a piece of paper. I like the idea of companionship. Really do. I like my person. I like that idea of having someone to do stuff with, to depend on and all that. But in terms of paperwork, really had no interest in the whole thing. How did I end up here? I have no idea. I think I am very attracted to personality.
Yeah.
Like, it does a thing for me. And I think we just met and, as they say, we just vibed, right? And you go for a couple of dates. You learn a lot. I think also somebody who can teach me stuff is one of the qualities that I look for without knowing I was looking for.
Yeah, learning from each other, basically. Yeah.
So I got to learn a lot from him that I didn't know, and I thought that was really cool to have somebody, you know, life wasn't that, it wasn't stagnant.
Yeah.
But yeah, this time I haven't decided that this is the guy still. I just like hanging out.
Yeah.
And I think also there were a lot of really amazing gestures from him. I remember I moved out of the country and he came and got on a plane and came and surprised me. And I was like, gosh, this is really deep.
Oh, romantic.
So, you know, there's a lot of those small, really selfless gestures that I think made a difference. And that's when I sat there and I thought, goodness, I think I can see myself here. Now we start looking at, I start thinking about kids. I didn't want those kids either. But now you can see them with this dude.
Yes.
So I think that's how you start planning it. And I think that's how the whole love thing checks in. I'm not sure I believe in love at first sight.
I think it's more like, personally, I think it's, you can be attracted to someone at first sight.
Yeah.
Like, because I think to love someone, you know, it depends on what you think love is, but love grows. Like, that love is something that grows. You get to know one another. Even me as a mom, you know, like in the movies, you see you give birth and then, ooh, I'm so in love with. No, I don't think so. Like, I don't hate them, but I'm also like, I'm overwhelmed with the feeling of like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I have this child. But you know, like the love grows, like even with your child. I maybe some people do feel that love at first sight, but for me, I'm also on the same page as you. Like, it's
they say it's a choice. Yes. You know, when I was reading stuff many years ago, and they say that love is a choice. And I thought to myself, goodness, okay, fine. Because they're feelings. Feelings are different. The same way you'd hate somebody.
Yes.
Feelings. I think love is a choice. You generally decide, fine, there's those small gestures. There's this amazing guy. I can see a future. I can see whatever. But yeah, I don't believe in love. I don't think I believe in love at first sight. I believe there's attraction. And yes, then you decide to delve into that
and see where,
and see
goes.
Where that goes.
Yes.
So I think that's how I ended up where I am now, married with the marriage that I didn't want, with the kids I decided I didn't want. Very funny.
Yeah.
With a name change that I said I would never do. So it's very interesting. What was the other thing? Where are the men?
Where are the men? Yes.
Now, let me tell you, if I believe if I was in Nairobi at this point in time as a single woman.
Yes.
From what I've been seeing, people are struggling. Having said that, people are struggling both ways.
Yes, it's both men
the
and women.
The men and the women
are struggling.
And it's generally a certain age group. I find like my friends who are my age are really struggling because who you have left are married men who you don't want because you want your own person, right?
But some people do want those married men.
Let's just say we are being timid in our thought process.
No, but some people actually do want the married men. It's there. There's a portion where like they're like, okay, this married man actually can be my partner, and you know they will not be so demanding. I don't have to live with them. Like I've read articles like that. Like I don't have to live with him. He will pay all my bills, and you know, baby girl lifestyle. So we have a portion of people.
Sour, if that's what you want. Now, the ones who don't want that, where are the men?
Yes.
So you have the married ones. Then the ones who are, let's say, divorced.
Yes.
Then maybe widowed or whatever. Like, those are pretty much your two options in your age group.
Oh, but there's also some young ones.
Then if you want, the young ones are available too. But then now it's a matter of, can you talk about the same things?
Yeah.
Because then the younger ones have their own, they're going through their own thing.
Yeah.
You want a mature guy. A mature guy in your 20s are very rare.
Extremely.
So, and like even those ones have probably got their own babes at this point because they have a different, you know, if that's what they want.
Yeah.
Very marketable as well because they are more mature. They've got a life plan. It's not just sherehe and nini, nini, nini.
Yeah.
So it's very tough.
I know. Like, same here. Like, I have several friends and I don't know, a dating life right now is difficult. I don't know. Maybe we should invite one of these dating gurus or someone from maybe these apps or something to just share with us, like, how do you find love? Because I've heard, or at least I watch, there's a scientific way where people can actually put people together and you can end up finding love using a scientific method. Or is it a movie or a book where you can ask each other certain questions?
And then there's both. I've heard of a book as well that explains it to the biology of your body.
Yes.
You know, your biology and your hormones and everything, like how your body reacts to a compliment. What does that do to you?
Exactly. But
how do you get noticed based on, it's very, anyway, we're going to have to talk about this
in depth because now we're just touching on it. But I just think in general, I would say like, there's no particular place where men are. They're everywhere. They're around you. Or women, if that is what rocks your boat. I will just think if you're looking for a relationship, like a long-term relationship. Because I think if it's in terms of casual hookups, we have a lot of casual hookups going on. So if you're looking for a long-term relationship, I think you should put yourself out there. I really think we've lost that with this age of technology, your phone, online dating, and so on. I just think like, you know, talk to your friends, be social, go to, I don't know, get-togethers. Let your friends try hook you up. You know, just be open. Like I would say, be open and see where it leads. You probably won't end up being with 99% of those people you maybe go on a date for, but just get to know people and just be open to ideas. And also, as you said, at our age group, you have to be open to the idea that you will not find like a single man without any baggage. Like, let's just agree, that's not gonna happen. Like, you will definitely find someone.
It's a unicorn.
Yes, it's a unicorn. So you have to be open to the idea that, yes, you will find this man and you will click, but maybe they are like two children. Or, you know.
Or you're going like, as a wife number two or something.
You're going as wife number two, yeah. Or there's something. So I think you just have to be open to that. And if I don't answer this, I think my husband will be very upset if I didn't mention why I married him. But for us, I think it was just like, I was just attracted to his personality, his drive, his ambition. And most of all, he is good looking. Hey, so at the end of the day, you're like, there has to be like an attraction. And we both liked each other. It took time. It took a lot of time with a break in between, but we eventually ended up together. And look at us now.
Yeah.
Two kids later and the rest is history. So I don't think there's a formula. There's some people who meet and get married after 3 months. Some people meet, you start it off, you break it off, you come back again together, you find each other eventually. So it all works. But in general, I think Shiro and I agree. We're not so keen in love at first sight. We believe in... there could be like sexual attraction at first sight that might lead or might not lead to love.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's my take.
How long were you guys together before you got married, actually?
Let me see. Now I have to think about it. I think we were together for maybe like a year. Then we had a short break. And then we got together again, maybe after another year. Like we had, like there was a lot of things going on. So maybe in total, 2 years.
Mm.
But knowing each other, we'd known each other for longer.
Yeah.
Yes. So there was like, we kind of
about the dated. Yeah.
Yeah, dated. And then he moved away and then we stopped and then we picked it up again at some point. Mm. So it's like a continuum. It's not a, you know, it's not a flow that is just going on. Yeah. But in general, yeah, like, yeah, we've known each other for over 10 years.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right. That was fun. I hope we've, we could stay there all day.
I know, but we're going to come back to this.
We shall. Uh-huh. Right. Next question. Mm. What might you say was the most valuable lesson learned through adulting? Like, yeah, you consider, from the time you've considered yourself
an adult, a
grown up.
I wonder if, like, maybe from the time I was 18, we're still in the journey of adulting.
Yeah.
First of all, I totally agree with everyone who says adulting is a scam. Like, in general, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I can't wait to be 18 so that I'm an adult so I can do all these big people things. No, adulting comes with bills and so many responsibilities and, you know, but it also comes with a freedom that I cannot give back. Like, I cannot imagine now going to live under my mother's house and becoming like a child again. There are some benefits to adulting that definitely just make you come out to who you are. Like, you grow into yourself. So I'd say, like, it's not one thing, but like, in general, I just feel like it's a journey. That's like a lesson for me. It's like, it's a journey. Don't rush it. Like, if there's someone who's like 22 year old, 23 right now, I'd say adulting is a journey. Like, you don't have to rush. Don't rush the process. Like, just because your friend has a boyfriend right now in campus and you don't have one, but it doesn't mean that you'll end up lonely, old and sad, you know, because you don't know where that's their plot line. You know, that's their storyline in life. They are at their current storyline in their journey. You're in yours. So enjoy every moment because it's a journey. Because at every stage, there's just been different things that then you appreciate and you're like, oh, okay, wow, I've learned so much from this. So for me, I'd say it's been a journey and try to be authentically yourself as much as possible. The sooner you learn that you're the only one, there's only one Carol. There's no other Carol. Like, and why am I trying to be like, let's say Shiro? But Shiro is already Shiro. So let me just be myself and let the people who love me for me love me. And maybe the people who don't get along with me, it's fine. Maybe I don't need them in my space. And I think we struggle a lot with that as young adults, as you're starting off in that journey and you're like, oh, I need to be in this group of people. I need to be maybe dressed like this. I need to be living here or I need to do all this. I just think appreciate your journey as it is and just be confident and live yourself, you know, live your life as yourself the best possible way that you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look back. Let me tell you, right now, I remember at some point, like when maybe I was 24, I've always been like super skinny. And at some point I used to think like, oh, but look at that tummy, you know, like your tummy is a bit big. Like you always find flaws in yourself. And now in retrospect, when I look at stupid even girl. Pictures of me back then, I'm like, Allah, what was wrong with you? Like, you're banging. You know, like, it's like we don't get... That's why I'm just saying, like, we need to appreciate every step of the journey yeah. and stop being so self-critical. Because I think that's something that, you know, those negative voices in your head, you kind of have to learn how to steal them and just believe that you're doing the best that you can. Try to improve yourself, have more positive self-talk, affirmations, and so on. And then you grow into yourself and then you look back and you're like, ah, that was actually not so bad. Because now when you start looking back, and keep a journal if you can, because that's how you can trace your growth over time. Mm. That's what I'd basically say. What about you, Shiro?
I think for me, it would be relationships. Mm-hmm. Doing your best to cultivate relationships. You can be an introvert or extrovert. It doesn't mean that you're looking for people to go hang out in every aspect. Work, home, your family. I believe those relationships are very important and you have to take care of them as an adult because these are people you can lean on.
Yeah.
As you said, the minute you're out of your parents' house, whatever, you're still going to be your parents' child.
Yes.
But how you deal with that relationship moving forward, you know, you're older, you're a bit wiser, you can even sit with your folks and talk about stuff that you couldn't when you were a child. Now you're grown up. They see you as one.
Yeah.
Cultivate those relationships. Cultivate them at work. Be dependable. Be the person who does what they say they will do. Yes. Don't be wishy-washy. I think it is very sad when you are a grown-up, responsible person, you know, doing something in society, but you're extremely wishy-washy. Nobody can depend on you, not your family, not your kids. You say one thing to appease people, which is nonsense. You don't have to. Like, you are allowed to say no. You don't have to do that. You can say no, but if you're going to say something, do it. So that's what I always do now. I'm like, if I'm going to commit to it,
you commit.
I'm committing.
100%.
I'm committing to it.
Yeah.
And it makes you a very reliable person. And these are the things that carry you forward. It's the same thing like if you have something going on and, oh, do you know someone who does this and this? Mm-hmm. And you go and you're like, maybe I know 20.
Yeah.
But 18 of those I would never.
Yes, you.
I'm not going to put my name. I'm never going to put my name behind someone like that. I know they do it, but just because you're extremely wishy-washy, then it comes back to me like, what kind of people do you? So you understand what I'm saying? That thing.
Yes.
No. So I just think being a reliable, being a reliable person, and from the back of that, you cultivate some amazing relationships that will take you far.
Exactly. Mm. And I read something, I think I even shared this with you, Shiro, yesterday, something Sheryl Sandberg had said just about confidence and how confidence takes you places. That's one thing I think, like she said, feeling confident or pretending that you feel confident is necessary to reach for opportunities. It's a cliche, but opportunities are rarely offered. They are seized. Let me tell you, like, as I said, yes, it's a journey, but sometimes your confidence level, even me ending up on my first job, it was just a matter of confidence, asking, do you have a job here? Standing up, speaking, you know, speaking out, be confident.
Yeah.
And I think also I was reading somewhere, like, confidence is not something, some people are born with confidence. Yeah, yeah. Like, some people are just born with confidence. That's them. But it doesn't mean that... not everyone can be confident. It's a muscle you can train.
Yeah.
You can actually train it. There are things you can do to build that muscle and it will give you so many more opportunities. Because in a room of 100 people, if someone asks who's going to volunteer, if you put your hand up, who's getting that opportunity? Of course, it's you. But even in class, people tend to be like, you know, the lecturer asks a question, you know the answer, but you're like, oh, I'm not going to answer that. Or, you know, you're just shy, or you're in the office and you're in a meeting and the bosses are asking who has a good idea for this or a pitch for this. And then you're holding back. And then someone who comes up with a slightly mediocre version of even what you knew already you would have sold to the group ends up leading the project and taking all the sauce. So you just have to be confident, believe in yourself. And you know what? The worst thing that can happen is someone will say no.
Yeah.
And then you move on.
Exactly.
But you tried. But you see, if you don't try, how will you ever learn?
Yeah.
How will you ever know what you're good at and what's going on? But then, Shira, I have a question tied to that, that if you won the lottery today, what will the next 5 years? Let's say if you want, like, what is a good amount of money, you know?
Oh, it's all relative.
I know.
It's all
relative. But a good amount of money across board, let's say $100 million. That's good by any standards.
Do you even have enough zeros in the calculator to Nini to convert that into Kenya shillings?
$100 million. Just know it's in the billions.
This is very easy for me. Uh-huh. I dream about lottery money.
So
I can really tell you. I can tell you like this.
Uh-huh.
I'd get myself a house, get my folks a house, give a bunch of money to my sisters, buy myself a place in New York, in Monaco.
Uh-huh.
I lie. First and foremost, I would take a plane out of this country, go to some island in the Caribbean for like a month just to calm myself down, and then to plan this money. Let me not get ahead of myself.
Yeah.
That's what I would do first.
But you're getting ahead of yourself. You're already going to spend the money in the Caribbean island.
No. I'm just chill. It's just a holiday. It's nothing mad.
Okay.
It's nothing mad. We can still go to the Caribbean even now with the little ones that we have.
That we have. We can still go. Yeah.
Then those are the things. Then I would also... I would get myself like a diplomatic passport. I don't know where these things come from. I don't know that these things can be bought.
I don't think if it's necessarily diplomatic, but
whatever
you can buy a passport from, like, there are many, Cyprus, even Turkey.
Those ones.
Yeah. You can buy a passport.
One of those ones.
Yeah.
Then invest a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Open a couple of homes for like single mothers with like some technical training things, so you can come out of there and be self-sustainable.
Yeah.
Schools. I think that's about it. The minute I've invested, the rest of it I give away.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's it.
When I've
sorted out my people, the rest is
I'd actually have to think about, like, I've actually never thought of winning the lottery to be honest.
I would have another kid.
That too. Let me tell you, but I am a very lucky person. In general, like, I win lots of stuff. Like, when I enter competitions, in general, like, even my family knows. Like, if I see, I don't enter all competitions, but when all the ones I've entered, more or less, I've won something. Heck, I've won, like, a fridge when Heineken. I won, like, shopping vouchers for a year when Nakumat was still alive.
Goodness.
And kicking. Like, I've won money.
I win a lot of raffles. I win.
Yeah, tickets. I won a ticket to go watch Jay-Z and Beyonce when I was in university in Tanzania when they came, including flight. And I was so determined. I remember telling my friends, I'm going to be on that. I'm going for that. It's just a matter of determination. And I was like, it was on Capital FM. Coca-Cola was sponsoring it. And I had my phone in my hand. The moment it was announced, I was like the first caller.
Yes. So you're telling me you have no... So having said that, you're telling me you've never thought what you do with $100 million. Here,
not really.
Free here, now,
like,
you've
if
won.
You give me right now, what, as more or less, like, as you say, I will also do stuff for my mom. I will do stuff for my sisters, you know, just making sure everyone is set up, my nephews, my nieces. Of course, like me, family-wise, buy several homes somewhere. And then, of course, maybe set up a charitable foundation. The cause, you know, I'm very passionate about education. So it would have to do something with education, both of girls and boys, not necessarily choosing. But general, that's the general idea that I have.
You know, let me tell you about my fear with lottery. So I play it a lot, especially if I travel.
Uh-huh.
And my family, my husband's side of the family, because they're in Ireland, we do
like a pot.
What is it called? This calls whatever. Anyway, yeah. So mother-in-law would, even father-in-law, I think we always buy a ticket, and then the idea is that if it's won, everybody's winning it.
Uh-huh.
So all the siblings are going to be part of this. So we'll have to go and get some.
Yeah.
So I've always like said it cannot be less than this, bro. Because otherwise they say, if you're splitting it. So my fear has always been, I tell God, if I'm winning, let me win big, because I will never win another lottery again. So you know, this, it doesn't happen twice in your lifetime. Well, it happens sometimes.
People, like in the US,
it happens
several times. Yeah.
It happens sometimes. But in my situation, I don't see it happening twice. So I'm like, if you're going to win, let's win big, please.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Yes, I have plans. I think about it all the time.
That is so interesting. You know, actually, when you said that, like now, because I saw that question and I'm like, I'm actually not thought about it. Like, I've never sat down to actually think about a windfall.
Funny.
Like, I think, like, of course, when I'm wealthy, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But I've never related it to the lottery.
What is your idea of wealthy? You see, again, these numbers are relative, right?
Let me tell you, it's so funny, but I was talking to my husband and telling him, for me, it's when, you know, I really do not like traveling economy. I really don't.
Nobody does.
Some people don't mind it, but I really love
you mind.
No, I really mind it, like extremely so. My idea of wealth is when we can have our own private jets or be traveling first class without thinking about it. Like, you don't have to think about it. Right now, yes, we can do business class, but you kind of have to think about it. You know, like, it's like, okay, if we do this trip, we can do this, but it's not without effort. You get, there's effort to that. So for me, it's when I have my own private jets that can shuttle me from place to place. I'm good to go.
Bless you.
Yes. There you go. There you know my ambition.
It's our private jets.
I'm heading there.
Private jets.
Yes.
Right. Let's go to the next one. Mm-hmm. How do you know that it's time to walk away from something that doesn't serve you? So from work, relationships, bad friendships.
I think you know, like no one has to tell you. Sometimes we're in denial.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. Yes. Yeah, sometimes you need to be told. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you need to be told. But even if you're being told, you already know at the back of your mind that this is not working for me. We had an episode on joy, like 2 episodes ago. Seriously, if you're with someone who is not even, you know, like you've lost your joy for living, you're just unhappy. Or you're in a job, you're extremely unhappy. It's not serving you. I'm not telling you quit immediately. Make a plan for your exit. If you're in a relationship, if you're, you know, with your significant other and this person, all they do is just drain you of your joy and, you know, urge to leave. Like, you just feel like this person is always maybe criticizing me. Maybe they're emotionally abusing you. Or maybe you just don't feel the connection anymore and you're just with them because you're feeling there's some sort of societal pressure. Or this person is cheating on you. Shiro, I know you don't like watching all these things that are hyped up. But man, there's a series called Young, Famous and African.
I just started it yesterday, actually. I started it yesterday, almost didn't go to bed.
I binged watched it, by the way, over the weekend. I sat through it. Like, it is so... It's good content, like, gosh, as in all those characters. But there's this, like, now, for instance, there's this character called Annie, Two-Facey DBS wife.
Girl, let me finish, I tell you. That's why I finished. I went to bed because I couldn't take it anymore.
Why?
That babe has Stockholm syndrome. Me, I don't understand how, like...
Exactly. So you see, someone like that, Shiro, even if you told them, Kwani, she doesn't know she's being cheated on, her first kid is kid number Sidri.
Five.
I beg. And you've been with this man, as in all this through these times, since you were 16. And now you're still fighting. You know, you're like, no, this is my relationship. You're even renewing your vows and all that. So I'm like, okay, you know. It's not like she doesn't know. So like in that case, for me, I saw like she's a bit threatened, you know, by any woman
No, you can never be the same.
She's threatened. So where's the joy in that? What is she getting from that? But you see, she's chosen her battle. that's what she's gonna fight. So sometimes, yes, you know you need to leave, but you stick on there like glue. So I will just say, if you feel this is not serving you, imagine leave. And if you can't leave on your own, get help. Get help from a professional counselor or from your friends or someone you trust, and just sit down and talk about it. If it's a job, have a game plan. Say, okay, I'm unhappy in this position. What can a game plan look like? Start applying for new jobs, putting aside savings, because it might end up you having to quit without even having found another job. So you have to set aside a pot of money that then you can survive on for the next, you know, and however how many months it takes you. If it's a friendship, cut them off. Cut those people off. But they're not, you know, you need to learn how to let go of baggage. If it's friends and it's a friend who isn't talking behind your back or just doing stuff that is really insane. Like, they're just some things that, you know, people as friends, you shouldn't do to each other. Imagine, cut them off. And you know the funniest part? And I have lost like two very close people, like in my family, immediate family members, like they've died, yeah? Literally, they've died. They are no longer here on earth with us. But guess what? My life is still going on, as sad as I feel. So you can imagine, if you can lose someone, like literally, like they go away from this planet, you don't know where they are, and you still manage to eat, you still manage to love, to play, to work, to move on, you can definitely let go of someone who's not adding value in your life. Mm. It's very tough loving, but I think some of these things are tough loving. But for romantic relationships, Shiro, I don't think it's that straightforward. I think for friendships and jobs, it's a bit more easy to be like, okay, I'm done with this. It's not serving me. I'm stressed. I'm depressed and so on. I'm moving. But when it comes to romantic relationships, there's something that happens that just ties you down. And it's so difficult. It could be like, I'm staying because of the kids, or I'm staying because, you know, what will my family say? What will society say? I'll be so embarrassed and so on. I know it's difficult. Like for relationships, I don't think it's something that I can tell someone like, you just leave.
It's not easy. It's, and I think a lot of them also are relationships that you have been so manipulated or like emotionally abused that you don't know what's happening.
Exactly.
And you're being gaslit. So today everything is great. Tomorrow you're nothing. But then you're like, I'm leaving. But then today you're great.
Yes.
Then so it's just an emotional roller coaster.
Yes.
To the point that you have, it becomes the norm for you.
Yes.
You don't know any different. If you don't confide in somebody, you'll think that's normal.
Yes.
If you do, sometimes you're like, you're the one, you start losing relationships now because apparently your friends are the ones who are against you. They don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a bit tougher. It's very easy for you to get lost.
It is. And especially, let's say you don't have financial independence.
Mm.
So you're relying probably on this man for everything.
Yeah.
There's so many aspects to this to unpack. And this is also, I think, another topic where we can also get someone in terms of talking about relationships in general, like when to leave, when to meet up with someone. So we will definitely pack this and we will come back to this. But this, on the topic of relationships, Shiro, it brings us to, like, I think our last question, because we're almost running out of time. How do you build up a solid relationship or friendship with your siblings or relatives, especially when showing affection wasn't something that was emphasized growing up, especially for us in a very African culture where, like, for some of us, you know, you hugged your parent, maybe you were 16 or 18, you know, like, it's not a culture of affection. Not that they don't like you or love you, they do, but it's just different ways of expressing that affection.
Yeah.
How do you think, especially right now that you're raising kids also that are, you know, two cultures, basically.
I'll tell you something about culture.
Yeah.
It's same, but different. Mm-hmm. And the example I'll give you is when E and I went for premarital counseling. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in a space where it was a group of us, but it wasn't a lot of verbal, like, they weren't going to try and put everyone in the spotlight in front of strangers.
Yeah.
So we had these handbooks.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd talk us through certain stuff and then they'd be like, okay, this is your handbook. Answer these questions here.
Mm-hmm.
And then swap them with your partner and see.
Yeah.
So we went to the point of, how are you brought up in your family?
Yes.
How are you brought up? What would you change bringing up your own kids?
Yeah.
And I kid you not, we were the exact same. despite the fact that he was on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side of the world. Yeah. We were the same. There's no, maybe apart from his mom. Mm. But again, handshakes, none of that, a lot of affection.
Cuddling.
None of that. Yeah, like, they love you, but there's the physical stuff is not there.
It doesn't, manifest.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, goodness, we're literally the same. So we made a conscious decision that day that if we ever had kids, that's what we're going to do. We're going to hug them. We're going to tell them we love them. We're going to give them kisses, that sort of thing.
Yes.
So that's what we do now. And I'm very conscious, but also I'm still very in my ways. Like, my daughter will come and say to me, good night, mommy. I love you. The best mom. And I'm like, okay, thanks. Thanks, Soph. So I have to train myself to go like, love you too.
Yeah.
So it's difficult because that's how you've been brought up, and it's a bit
like, you have to
unclench. Unclench yourself.
Yes.
Because you're setting precedents now, aren't they, when they have their own kids or
they have grown up in that environment of nature. You know, like, for me,
even for me with my sisters, it's a struggle. Like, I don't hug my sisters. My friends.
You didn't grow up doing that.
Exactly. My friends are very affectionate and they laugh at me all the time. They're like, don't hug Shiro. It makes her feel funny. Or they'll send me messages like, I love you, because they know that I wouldn't, they know how cringe it is for me.
Yeah.
Having said that, so that I don't love them, I struggle with those words.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's for me, it's a muscle. It's a muscle you have to build up. You know, the way you go to the gym and you lift weights and you become stronger. It's a muscle. Same as you growing up, there was not affection as such in terms of hugging, kissing and all that. But for me, I am a very affectionate person. Like, I want to feel that. So for my kids, it's like constant hugging and telling them I love you and you're the best, and you know, and it's just that. And also for my friends, we're trying more now. Like, it's something you have to like work on, and you know, like, I love you guys. Maybe you don't tell them every day, but like, it's something that you have to keep working on. For the family, it's still work in progress, because you know, you've still grown up in that structure. Like, there's a structure you've grown, and you kind of feel a bit odd breaking through it. But I think over time it's getting better. But even for me, it's been such a conscious decision. Like, I knew, like, I always want my kids to feel like, you know, they could run to mom anytime, get a nice hug, I'll kiss them, you know, like, we do kiss attacks all the time, and we're like super huggy, and like, just doing a lot of just being physically, you know, showing your love physically also. So on that question, I think in terms of relatives and siblings, you can start.
Yeah.
Just start. Start with a hug. Start with telling them, oh, I love you, and so on. And then you see where it goes. And you can wear them down. That's the thing. It's a positive thing of wearing people down. Like you, we will wear you down. We shall keep hugging you and loving you until you have no choice. And every time I see you, I'll give you the biggest hug
now
on this
look
planet.
What I've done.
This is what you've done now. Now you're in trouble. Because now you're like, you have X on your back. So be prepared for a lot of lovey-dovey emotion feelings coming from this side. Yeah, but like, I think we had so many questions. Like, we've touched like, I think maybe 5 only, and we had like over 20 questions, and there are some that are really heavy, and we want to use those questions like to have guests come over. You know, we got varied questions from like, you know, the role of women, you know, gender issues here, especially in Kenya, what we can do about that. And we're not sometimes maybe the best place to give opinions about this. So we would like to invite experts who might give us their opinions, and then we can chime in on that. But then I think that would be more productive.
Yeah.
Then you kind of get a bit more solid advice to that, and not just us what we think, which sometimes is great, but sometimes can also not be really good when it comes to some serious stuff. But I think this has been great, no?
It's been fun. I've enjoyed this.
Yes, and this will be a constant segment. We will constantly have this moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening. Remember to like our pages, subscribe, and yeah, just keep on supporting us. Take care, and we love you, our listeners.
Oh, my God.
Shiro? 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 Yeah, Shiro is like, nah, I'm not going there. Don't worry. On behalf of Shiro and I, we love you. Thank you for your love. And thank you for all the love that you're showing.
Yes. And send us more questions. Send us more comments. And, you know, whatever else you'd like to for us to talk about. It'll be nice to hear from you and, you know, your comments. And there's more Grown People Business coming to you soon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you from Something About Life. Bye.
Bye.